2022 Public Safety Committee meeting. I am here with Alderman Tarullis, Alderman Soling, Alderman Merrick, I think is on vacation, Chief Jensen, who's trying to get the Zoom link up if we need it, and Marlis, our minutes taker.
Oh, here it is, hold on. Caitlin said it, not Joy.
I'll wait to see if anyone's on Zoom before we ask for citizen comments.
Please wait for the host to start this meeting.
Yeah, I have the same one.
And I don't know the login.
It's okay. We tried, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will now ask for citizen comments, and there's no one here in the chamber, so then we will move on to the minutes from our July 7th, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting. If you guys have any questions, concerns, additions, deletions, or anything? Those will be taken as provided. We'll move into new business, PS 2022-21 Monthly Report Review, June through July of 2022.
Awesome. So I'll go through it just kind of like what we normally do. For the month of June, we had 65.25 hours of overtime. Of those 65, 30, 46.5 of those hours were actually 32.5 was reimbursed, 14.5. That was the other larger item on there as far as overtime goes, and was street and shift coverage. We had a COVID sickness where we had to call somebody in for 12 hours of street coverage, just more for staffing levels. Vacation, we had a majority of our vacation time, obviously, is June, July, and August, so June and July, you're gonna see a lot of vacation time, you know, hours used. I wish I had as much vacation time as some of these guys have, it's kind of crazy, but. Then you go through the Facebook posts, there's some pretty cool things in there, the Mobile Museum. Sam Strop always doing his thumbs up with the kids and the lemonade stands, those lemonade stands are just a huge hit. Let's see, as far as the last thing in June, obviously, was the vice president coming into town, and then the chaos that was created on the roadways, and stopped blocking all the roadways on 47. It's actually kind of cool to see the vice presidential go through town, but boy, it created a lot of mess, so. On there was the actual plane, it was a picture of her plane, which I thought was very cool, so we put that in there.
Was it Sugar Grove?
It was in Sugar Grove, yeah. So we had 223 hours of training that month. For the month of June, we had a total of 34 crashes, 45 total, but that excluded, you know, 11 private property crashes. Both June and July, you're gonna see 47 or Route 126, we had four of them in June, and I believe four in July as well. That's the intersection that always seems to lead, and it's the rear end collisions. They're property damage crashes, but it's somebody looking left while they're going forward, and they're bumping the car in front of them. The days of the week and the times, in June, you'll see that 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock is, we had 15 crashes, but in July, it's all kind of equaled out, so it's just kind of a month where that was just happened to be the timeframe with crashes. As far as the traffic enforcement, you know, you'll see a lot of different spots, you know, McHugh Road, 126. You know, we're hitting 126 a little bit, but, you know, not as much, but as you're gonna see again for these 2 months, Route 47 is just, 47, 71, and 34 are just, those are hotspots, you know. And again, you know, we sit out there, you're gonna see with our total tickets that, you know, we were up in these months with, you know, tickets. We were actually down in the month of July. There's more vacation time used in the month of July, but, you know, we still get people in the 70s, 80s on the road, so. This morning, I was traveling to a meeting in Oswego, and there were two Yorkville squads between McHugh Road and Bristol Ridge in the center median, running radar both directions, so. They're definitely out there, but.
Just giving warnings.
Yeah, Yeah, they're out there all the time. So we did 34, we had 33 details. On 47, we had 31. On 71, we had 27. You know, we had 78.8 hours on Route 34 that we're spending there. Not sure what else to do to slow people down. I just don't know. So I think if I can answer that question, I'd be a millionaire because every city would be saying certain things. So traffic enforcement, we were actually in citations. I said we were up. We were actually down 4 traffic citations in July. We were up. And we were down to written warnings 101 compared to the same time last year. We had 458 in June of 2021. This year we had 357. So a little bit down there. As far as cases go, you know, our investigations, we've had a lot of backgrounds we've had to do. A background for hiring new employees, whether it's civilian, whether it's sworn police officers, or whether it's people for the city. We do the backgrounds for our coaches. We do the backgrounds for our city employees as well. And we did 13 backgrounds in the month of June, which is quite a lot. We also wanted to make sure we had people hired for police officer positions because we knew we had an academy spot. And a good background takes about 40 hours per person to do. So we had Goldsmith pushing through and getting stuff done. So right now our detectives are carrying anywhere between 6 and 8 cases each, which is great. Things, boy, not going to, may have slowed a little bit, but it's allowed us to make sure we're up on our backgrounds. So that's a good thing. As far as our overall reports go, you're going to see we had 52 from June of 21 to June of 22. We were up 52. The increases were in criminal reports, 911 hangups, and motorist assists. So nothing too alarming there for me. We're averaging in 2021, we averaged on a month 274 reports for the month. And our average right now through 6 months, and I think I did the math wrong. Hold on. Matter of fact, I know I did the math wrong. 1583 divided by 6. Right now our average is 263, so we're under where we were last year as compared to 274. The other nice thing is part one crimes, part two crimes. Part two crimes we stayed equal as compared to June of last year. This year, in part one crimes, we were up one report. Our monthly average for part one crimes is, for last year, was 20. We're averaging right now 13. So we're on a good trend, knock on wood, to stay lower with part one. And that's the crimes you want to stay lower in because that's your more serious crimes. And right now, our average for part two crimes is 23 a month. Last year, it was 30. So we had a big decrease in part two crimes last year. A lot of that was due to the identity theft and things like that. But we're still seeing a decrease, which is good. We're also seeing a decrease in our crime intervention, our crisis intervention calls. We had 10 less calls, and we had 5 less voluntary committals and 1 less involuntary committal as compared to the same time last year, which is good. Our overall patrol arrests were averaging 32 a month. Last year, they averaged 35 a month. So, you know, with some of the less calls, your arrest number should technically go down. At least you would hope that they would. And our overall calls for service, we're seeing an increase, you know, with our overall incidents, which covers everything that our officers pretty much do. So we're seeing an increase there. One of the parts of this report that is not fun putting together and telling you guys about is our squad and car operations expenses. We kind of hit the trifecta with more mileage, gasoline expense, and gasoline. The cost per gallon of gasoline are all up. Our maintenance expense was down $1,800 for the month of June, which is good, but the overall cost, you know, we're up 2,200 miles, and our gasoline expense is up $4,900 from this time last year. So I think later on in the year, you're going to start seeing that kind of equal out just because gas prices started going up closer to the end of this last year. So, and that's it for June. Going into July, our reimbursable overtime, we had 14 and a half hours for HIDA, and we also had 20 hours for a water park detail. The water park is wanting to hire us back every Friday, Saturday, Sunday to work the water park. A lot of our guys don't want to work. And frankly, I don't blame them. You know, they're out there, getting paid. Yes, they're getting paid their overtime rate, but they deal with a lot of stuff over there. And so there are some guys that will work it. So this month we happen, in the month of July, we happen to have 20 hours over there. That's all reimbursed. So we pay the officer their overtime rate. We bill them $75 an hour. So that covers the cost. I don't charge them our squad car sitting up there, but we get all the costs back associated with having an officer up there, with the exception of the car. We also had our 4th of July, which was 11 hours of overtime and then several hours of comp time that people get. If you guys were there for the 4th of July, it was just crazy. There was just a ton of people. I think we say every year it's the most people we've seen. As far as the community postings, there's some hot dog posters. We did some, Ryan Goldsmith this summer set up kickball games with different subdivisions, with different HOAs. And so we had several of those the month of July. You're going to see that the month of August as well, where we said, hey, at 11 o'clock on Thursday, we're going to be out there at this park. And we'd have 25 to 30 kids show up each time. And the officers are playing kickball with them and just kind of hanging out. We always bring, one day we brought ice cream. One day we bought, the ices for them, which was good.
The kids win every game?
What's that?
The kids win every game?
Oh, heck no. No, we're too competitive. There was a press release for a 13-year sentence for a sexual assault case that we had. You'll see that in there. There's also a post for our new hire, Peyton Heiser, who you guys saw that one day. He is doing fantastic at the academy. A quick update on that. He's doing great.
Is that the looking for 12?
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah, I'd say 10 or 12.
Yeah.
But what's funny is you remember that hair he had?
Yeah.
He shaved. Okay. So he I called him the day he left. Actually, the day that he got there, the day after he got there, he's like, Chief, this is awesome. I'm just, it's having fun. We talked to him every single week, and just a really good kid. Just a really good kid. And then we also had a large presence at Raging Waves Water Park for possession of a firearm. That was probably the biggest, news that you guys would read in our Facebook page. Moving on to our training, we had 500 hours of training for the month of July. Going into the crashes, we had 50 total crashes, 12 were private property. Again, Route 126 and 47, there was four, just like the month of June. Going to the Route 34, we had 99 speeding, either written warnings or citations. Route 34, and we had 177 stops. We had 66 non-moving violations as well in there. So out of 177 stops on Route 34, which is quite a few. Route 47, we had 91 stops, 47 for speeding, 32 for non-moving, and we had 101 for Route 71. We had 80 speeding violations there. So you get off of that two-lane, that's a little bit west of 47, and then they hit that four lane going into Oswego on 71, and man, plus it's hilly. So you'll see the 34 had the most amount of time spent. Obviously, we had more stops on there with 106.46 hours, 44 details, 43 details on 47, and 39 on 71. Some people have said, well, why don't you guys reduce the speed limit if you're getting all these speeders? Well, we can reduce the speed limit, but it's not going to reduce the number of cars that are speeding in there. Actually, IDOT is going the opposite direction. Why don't we raise the speed? If we're getting that many, maybe the speed should be a little higher, which just means they're going to go faster. So, Blackberry Shore, last month, in the month of June, we had monitored patrol areas where we have our CSOs go out there and we run stationary radar out there in an unmarked vehicle. We write down the date, the time, the vehicle plate, and then we run the plate and send the different letters. So last month at Blackberry Shore, we had several details. We had three letters sent out. During the month of July, we had six details with zero letters sent out. So as far as traffic enforcement goes, we were plus 8 from July to July. It's 78 in July of 2022 and 70 in 21, and we were up 131 written warnings for the month of July as compared to July of last year. Again, background investigations, instead of 13, we had 7, and plus we also had detectives off on vacation quite a bit. So we had, I think the month of July we only had, I don't think we had 1 week, we had fully staffed detectives, which it's a good thing it's a little slower. As far as the crime reporting for reports, you're going to see we're plus six. The major increase for that particular month is in motorist assist. There were 17 increases in motorist assist, where we've had some decreases in other crimes. We were up in part one crimes by 3 as compared to July of previous year, and we were minus 8 in part two crimes. Crisis intervention calls, and again, this is, we're on a good trend, and so far, August should kind of match. We were less in our crisis intervention calls and less in our voluntary committals. We were up in our involuntary committals by 2. So patrol arrests were still, we had 29 in the month of July. As far as overall calls, the calls incidents, we're still averaging more. We're averaging currently 1,184 a month. Last year's average was 1,120. So you're going to see our total incidents is going up. But part of that is also, we're 32 officers for most of this year, you know, and so when you increase a person, and those younger people are still pretty active or very active, you're going to get, you know, increases there. And then our squad car operations, we were up in all 4 categories. Monthly mileage, we were up over 31, almost 4,000. Gasoline expense, we were up almost, well, over 4,000. Gallons of gas, we were up 209, and then our vehicle maintenance cost was just under 4,000 as compared to 1,000 last year. On a side note with vehicles, we just picked up all 3 vehicles yesterday. One of them is ready to go. It will be striped on Friday. Today's Thursday, right? Friday, it will be striped tomorrow. We'll have a second one ready to go tomorrow. All 3 vehicles will be striped. So our vehicles are in. They're getting processed. We're having one issue with one vehicle that probably won't be fixed until next Thursday. So those brand new vehicles will be out. Kind of on a side note to that, I was talking to a Bergner today at Oswego. They had ordered 3 cars the same time we did from a different vendor. They don't think they're going to get them.
At all?
And what they've been told is that Ford is not going to make cars next year. Yeah. Now, I don't know how true that is or not, but we're still kind of vetting that out. The other thing that we kind of talked about, and obviously I'll come to you guys with it when I can verify the information, is for 3 years, Ford has maintained the cost. They haven't increased the price of the Fords. This next year, there's going to be about a $9,000 increase per car. So what I'm looking to have Bear do for find out for me is, do they, if I place an order now, how many months is it going to take, and do I get it for the current price? And if I can save $18,000, I may come to you guys saying, I know it's not the budget. I probably have enough money in the account to buy one. I don't have money enough to buy 2. But for next year's budget, if I can save 18 grand, what do you think? And then we'll kind of walk through the process. I don't even know if they're going to do it. I don't even know if I can get them. My guess is it would be after April anyway, and I wouldn't have to pay until I took ownership of them. But trying to find a way to save that $9,000 per squad, and that's quite a jump. So if I could do it, just know I'd be coming back to you guys and getting your thoughts.
And a budget amendment.
What's that?
A budget amendment.
Yeah, I mean, if we can save 18 grand. What I'm hoping is going to happen, we're already hitting, obviously, the beginning of September. I can't believe if I place the order even end of September that I'm going to get them before May 1st.
Right.
So it's kind of that shell game. So that's kind of the things with squads, and if they're not going to be making squads next year, I can tell you Morrow Brothers, where we got our cars from, they had 400, they're all gone. And Curry Motors, which is where Oswego ordered from off their state bid, I don't think they're going to get it.
Were they ordering cars, or were they ordering like the
SUVs?
The SUVs, okay. So it's just, they're not making police vehicles anymore.
They're not making enough. Ford is the only one making the SUVs. I could go to Dodge and get a standard, you know, all-wheel drive sedan.
Like Charger.
A Charger.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't want a Charger. They're cool. But, yeah, they go fast. So So on a side note to that, our with the vehicles being in, you're going to see two new vehicles in the fleet. You're going to see three here hopefully by Thursday this next week. So that's a good thing. And actually, I'll talk about the other stuff after this. So any questions? Awesome. Keep going?
Yeah. Are we on to adjudications or drone time?
Adjudications. There's really not much to report with adjudication, just some of the different tickets that are out there. I'm going to highlight just a couple. There's been some weed tickets that the city's written. We've got our typical admin tows. We've got a couple of your cannabis paraphernalia tickets that we get every single month. There is one in here for dangerous, vicious domestic animal, and that was issued on Cider Way in Oswego, and he pled liable to it. Let's see if there's anything else. There's several cannabis. There was one stopping, standing, parking. We don't normally see those tickets. It was dismissed, and it was dismissed at, I believe, our request. We did have two curfew tickets. You don't normally see curfew tickets as well. After the kids got them, the father of one of the kids had called. He and I had spoke, and I said, listen, we're not out to hammer. Here's what I would suggest happen. And so I told the dad, I'm like, listen, if you want to send a message, which is what he was wanting to do, then bring your kids to city court. Have him get up and explain what occurred. And then I'll get with the hearing officer, say, listen, I don't want them fined, right? They're taking ownership. Now, if they lie, don't take ownership, do what you got to do. But if they're taking ownership, let's send a positive message. And the kids came in very respectful, dressed really nice for city court. Yeah. It was kind of hard to believe.
Not pajama pants like I see?
Yeah.
Real court?
Yeah, exactly. And they came in and owned it, and the hearing officer was really good with them and basically said, you understand we can do this. We're not going to because you guys are being responsible with what you're doing. So the parents were very happy with the message that we sent.
Was it Greg or Wally?
What's that?
Greg or Wally?
Wally. Yeah, did a really nice job with it. And then we had a noise ordinance at Pins. We had a noise complaint in your subdivision. You probably heard about it. We did write the ticket compared to what people think happened. A ticket was written. They were found liable. And so we told the business owner that if we get any calls and there's a violation, your warning was at that meeting that we had here. We're not giving you any more warnings for this. They came, very respectful, very nice, no issues, no problems, pled liable, paid their fine, and we're good. So.
Yeah, he reached out to me, and at the time he said they were going to suspend outdoor events until they worked with their sound guy to take the reads. They were having an outdoor event. I was actually out there with a meter. One of the neighbors bought a meter, and I was there with them, and in their backyard, and they were well over, so I texted them and said, hey, may file a complaint or not making a call, just letting you know you're over, but this is acceptable. If you can maintain this level, I think people will be happy.
Yeah. He's a nice kid, nice guy, not a kid. He's a nice guy. He's really trying to do the right things. You know, even with the whole protest thing with that, he was extremely good with Garrett. Extremely good, you know, and I'm not out to tell him he can't run his business. That's not my job. That's not what we're supposed to do. So he did everything we asked him to do, and so Chris has been, he's been good, so.
All right, questions? All right, let me move on to our last item, drone discussion.
So actually I got a couple other ones that aren't on there, just to give you quick updates. Body cameras are in, the actual body cams themselves. WatchGuard cannot get us in for their project manager until October 29th, so. We'll take a 3-day where their person will come out. I would say beginning of November, you're gonna see our officers and myself with body cameras on. I can't wait for it to happen. So that's coming. The accreditation module for state accreditation we talked last time has been purchased. Ray is getting ready to sign the contract with them, and then we will get all of the standards. We are gonna go to the upper level of the accreditation process, not the lower level. And with our new building, we should have no issues there. And then the last thing is drone. There has been, obviously, with everything that occurred up north over the 4th of July, there has been a lot of push for, you know, police and surveillance and watching and monitoring, you know, special events. You're going to see hometown days, a little bit different of a entranceway coming in. We are looking to harden the targets a little bit more so a vehicle can't just drive straight through. If you look at our 4th of July event, you look at our event earlier in the park, Memorial Day, you know, if somebody wanted to cause a scene, they could drive through that park and hit, injure, or kill as many people as they wanted. So we've met with Eric, Christy, Bart, Tim, and the police department. We have always run plans, emergency plans, for every special event. However, Tim and I needed to get Eric and Bart really involved in the planning process and what we call hardening the target. So you're going to see cement barricades at the entrance over here, just different spots in different spots over the places so that vehicles can't drive through there. Could I stop it 100%? No, I can't. Our drone, we do have a drone that we purchased. We took it out of this current budget year's money. I reallocated other stuff we're not going to buy because we felt we needed this. It is really awesome. It's got a flare on it, which, you know, at nighttime, even at daytime, if there's somebody running, it picks up the heat signature. It also has a camera, 32 times zoom. So it was up in the air about 150 feet, and they can zoom in on my badge.
Could I read it?
Yeah, it was really, cool. We are going to be looking to send our department, looking to send 4 to 5 people to this training. We're going to reallocate some training money to get our people certified. You have to be certified through the FAA to do this. You as a private citizen don't, but law enforcement does. And we have to take what they call the 07 exam or something like that. I'm not sure the exact name of it. Not an easy class from what I understand. We cannot use the drone to fly over the parade route. By statute, it says we're surveilling the public. You can do it, but I can't. And so there are certain requirements under the law that we are very limited with what we can do as a drone because it's law enforcement surveilling people. There are some laws that are coming forward, hopefully at the end of this year, beginning of next year, which is hopefully going to change that. So like right now for the 4th of July parade, if I wanted to get up and check the roof of the high school, the freshman academy, the high school in Parkview, which are the high elevation points that if somebody was going to get high with a rifle and want to shoot people, like happened up north, those would be the places they would have to do it. Right now I can't send a drone up to look at those roofs because I'm surveilling. Now, you, Dan, can do it.
Can you go up there without the drone?
Yes.
So if you want to send the cop up there just to look around?
We absolutely can. So now, are there ways we can work around it? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always that, right?
No, I didn't mean to.
We are right up to that edge. I will tell you that. We are right there where if you took another step, you stepped too far. So we're going to train Tim Evans in Public Works. Eric Deuce can take this to fly to the top of the water tower if he wants to check something up there. He wants to check water lines, sewer lines, to see if there's any, he can do that. We're going to train city staff to use this when they want to use it too, because it's a city item. But when we have special events, they're not police. They can help check areas just to see. Or if we're going to use it for recruitment purposes, or we're going to take pictures for brochures, or flyers that we're going to put out as a city, we can do it. So again, we're right on that edge, but we can't step over the edge, but we're going to be right there. So you're going to see that drone up before the event. You're probably going to have Parks and Rec flying it. Or if Garrett is flying it, we're going to be taking photos to make sure we have stuff for our advertising brochures for the city.
Okay.
I'm not a big drone guy, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things you can do with it. The county has one right now that we have access to. It's a $40,000 drone. I think ours right now is probably better, and it's about $8,000. So, but it's pretty cool.
the one that we have with Fox, we can interface it with our GIS system, and it can go trace sewer lines.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is program it into the laptop. It'll go up and follow a satellite.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to fly. It'll automatically fly itself.
Yeah. We can set up different areas. We can set up areas that it can go and areas it can't go. I can hit a button. If it took off from here and I registered that as a spot, I hit the button, it will land in that exact same spot. It's really cool.
Okay, but can you pre-program an area where it can fly around? You can, so you don't actually have to sit there and mess around with it. Set it up 90 feet.
Yeah.
I want it to go this way, that way, back around three times, and then come back after it.
You could.
ComApps is doing now, too, to check power lines for hotspots.
Yeah.
It's like I said, the heat signature. It follows just, they'll set it up for like a 3 mile radius, and they'll mark it, pin it, and then go to the other end and pin it, and then use their GIS, and it just flies right over the power lines and just canvas it.
They're very cool, there's a lot of uses for it. We'll probably have it up on Friday night for the football game. We're going to have stuff above, and I mean, the football game's going to be crazy busy along with our festival here, so.
They've got a home game?
They got a home game.
With Hometown Day going on?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be awesome.
I know where I'm not going to be on Friday. Here.
You want to come work with us?
It's my son's birthday tomorrow. I've got stuff to do.
So that's the drone update. We got it, and we're going to be sharing it with the other, the other departments, and we're going to actually have them go to class with us because they should be trained in the use of it as well. So
good.
That's all I got.
Any questions?
Yes, I put my laser away in.
Shotgun. It'll knock it right out. Shotgun will take it right out of this guy.
Yep.
I get that up too for the shoulder.
Well, it was cool because we had it flying. Garrett was trying it when I came in on Tuesday, and Scott and Tim were setting up, but we flew it above. Scott and Tim, it's got a speaker. Tim, put your hands up. And he's kind of looking around, so I called Tim, and I'm like, look up ahead, and he sees the drone up above.
You can't hear it, not spinning up there?
Well, you can,
but
it does have different blades you can put on it that are silent.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool.
Where do you hear those? Well, something like a big mosquito.
Right, yeah.
If we have it up during Hometown Days, you won't hear it just because
of the crowd.
The carnival.
Yeah.
And the music going on. So,
it's kind of cool. Any old business?
Not from here.
Additional business?
I have one item. I received a call from some residents over on Gone Lane. Are you familiar with Gone Lane?
Yeah, it's off of Main Street by the river.
So, Gone Lane is private road, but Worsley is not private road. We're currently repaving Worsley. What was requested of me, and I've spoken to John already, when they're repaving Worsley, where it comes down, they're going to stop about 15 feet short of where Gone Lane is, and they're going to put up concrete barriers to prevent traffic from flowing from Gone Lane through Worsley. So part of the problem they have is being that it's private, nobody plows it, and the hill coming down to Gone Lane gets icy, and they can't get out half the time. They go up Worsley because it is plowed. If we put concrete barriers there, those people won't be able to get out of the subdivision or the little private lane.
So I would say that's going to be an Eric thing. I get so we were down on Gone Lane earlier this year with a gentleman that had blocked part of the roadway with fencing and stuff that he wasn't supposed to do. It's been down there for years.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with him. He was great. He took care of everything. But I definitely know the roadway you're talking about.
There's a telephone pole that sits right in the middle of the road, but there is room on one side for one car to pass by. They did ask if we would be willing to extend the paving, not to pave Gone Lane, but up to Gone Lane, because right now it's elevated and there's a drop off and it's just gravel. So even if we didn't leave it open, if they just didn't put the concrete barriers there, it still wouldn't be able to drive up because there's a big elevation difference. So I spoke with John on it and he suggested that I bring it up here at the committee level.
Here's the other reason I would say Public Works, because I can't control the paving side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Eric has got a ton of knowledge of what has happened down there, and I know that pole you're talking about because I said that same thing. I'm like, man, how can we have a pole right in the middle of this road? And there was something down there with the homeowners, and I don't know what it was, but I know Eric knows.
The city went in and put in new storm sewers over there about 2-3
yes.
years ago. And the house that's right where this 15 foot is technically in city limits. So Gone Lane, the hill comes down right to the edge of their property line, but they're still considered an address on Gone Lane, but that's where the city limits go. So we had to get an easement from them for their property to put the sewer line. You can see where the storm sewer goes
yeah.
down the river.
Yeah.
And these concrete barriers are going to be blocking that storm sewer. So possibly flows going around it. They're concerned about stormwater.
Right.
They're concerned about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the other part to think about, and again, another reason I think Eric needs to be brought in is the fire trucks. If they go in one way, they can't back out. They have to go that other way up to Worsley to get in. And so that's probably going to be something for fire that they're
yeah.
going to need. Like our squads can get around, but fire trucks down there, it's Gone, comes down and turns to the right. They can't, there's no place for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's too tight to turn to come down that hill, and
yeah.
especially if you got to go down the elevator
yeah.
way. The way
definitely a public safety thing with fire.
But yeah, Worsley, you can come down and get a straight. Yeah, I think it's even wide enough to get past that pole.
It is.
You could probably get a fire truck yeah. past that pole.
It'd be tight, but you're probably close. Yes, you're probably close.
Or you're close enough that you can run on the hose to get down where you need to.
Because the fire hydrant's on Worsley End, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So they would have to have a truck down at Worsley to get the hose. Yeah. That's definitely an Eric and probably fire. And they're wanting to block. City's wanting to block that?
Yeah. The homeowners that contacted me, Wilkinson, is her name. They're the ones that we had an easement from. They were told by, I think it's deconstruction doing the work, that they were instructed to stop the paving there and they were going to put concrete barriers in. I actually have pictures if you want to see exactly what.
Let me, I'll reach out to Eric. Eric's gone to a conference. Let me reach out to Eric. I'll reach out to him and see on that, and I will let you know. Gone Lane. Cement barricades.
So here is Worsley where it comes down to Gone Lane. I took a video.
So this would be right here.
Yes.
Okay. So Worsley technically stops here, but it's been.
Yeah. So this part here.
Okay.
There's actually still road.
Road.
Here.
Okay.
And like I said, you can see here in the video.
And they just want to block Worsley right here. From Gone
yes.
Lane. Why?
So you can see right here is where they're talking about. So here's where the hill comes down to Gone Lane.
Yeah.
Here's where the paving is going to end at Worsley. There's feel like 15, 20 feet. They're going to put concrete barriers here that wouldn't allow anybody to go.
People complaining about it?
Yeah.
People complaining about using Worsley?
No.
No.
They're complaining about them putting the
barriers
there.
But no, what I want to know is, are people on Worsley complaining about
no.
the residents
not,
on Gone Lane
not
using Worsley?
So my guess is the house that's complaining is the one at the very end of Gone Lane.
The very end.
To go straight into the
and they're technically, they're in city limits.
This one right here.
Check with Eric, because I don't know if that's the case.
It
check
be,
with Eric.
Yeah.
It'd be this one here, the curve at Gone Lane, right here.
Oops.
The end of Gone Lane.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can see there's their house there.
Yeah.
Here's where the paving would stop.
Yeah.
So they're talking about that 15, 20 feet. So this is where the proposal, the concrete barriers would go. There's the storm sewer that we put in, the storm drain.
Yeah.
So they're concerned that all the houses going down, going here all the way.
Right.
In the wintertime, there's the hill right here.
To get up Gone Lane.
To get up Gone
yeah.
Lane, and that's private road. Gone
sure.
is private road. So
they don't have a park.
Here's
nobody
the actual,
yeah.
there's the view. So this is the house you're talking about, Gone Lane coming down.
Right.
That area there is grass. That, and this is an old picture, that's where his boat and fence were for the gentleman that lives right here. That has all been moved. That's still not filled in for roadway. And I think that's where your your sewer has come down in through there. So, but I know there was a reason, and Eric had said it, and I don't remember what it was. It had nothing to do with the PD, so I stayed out of it. This road here, they've been trying to get the city to annex, and so we would take it. The problem is, I think it needs a ton of work.
It does.
And I don't know in the past what the city's reason was for not taking it. I just wasn't involved in that.
Because, of, like I said, it was all private. At one point, we did repave it. Bart confirmed that with me. They accidentally repaved it.
Okay. And did they do Gone or did they do Worsley down
there? They did Gone. Worsley is actually in city limits.
It is? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what you're talking about. This is an old picture where you had part of the road and the grass there. That's all gone.
So they were forced to move that stuff.
These houses are not ours.
No.
Worsley Lane comes through here, stops somewhere, but the houses are not in the city limits.
Right.
So I don't know if Eric's crew plows down here. I'd have to ask that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Township might plow that. It might be Township.
I know Township's supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Gone Lane.
But they don't do, they only do the hill.
Uh-huh. They
don't come down. That's all private road.
Yeah.
But the, like I said, the main concern for them was it gets so icy on the hill there that they can't get up and down the hill. They
Where
cut through
the barricade.
Right between Gone and Worsley.
Right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right where that, right before that.
Where that grass area is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Bristol Kendall's probably not going to like that very much.
Gotcha. So they're not asking us to. They asked to just extend that past that that telephone pole 15 feet of the paving and give them access to be able to get out in the event they can't get up and down the hill.
Too much of an ask. Getting the paving done might be a problem. I don't know how much 15 feet of paving costs. They might end up having to do that themselves, but keeping the road open I don't think is an unreasonable request.
They asked for the paving. I told them it may not happen, but if the event of emergency, that was their main concern.
I can see that.
If it's all right with you guys, I'll send Eric an email about, hey, in public safety last night, we talked about Gone and Worsley, and they were supposed to put, they're going to be putting barricades in the area of Worsley and Gone Lane. Tell me what's going on, and then make sure that.
I've already emailed her.
Oh, did you? Okay. Do you want me to email him again?
Please, because I haven't got a response.
Okay. Now I know he's in a conference, so he's out.
Yeah,
he's
out of the state. Last week.
Okay.
Almost 2 weeks ago, I emailed him, and Bart talked to me a little bit about it, and Bart was like, I don't want to handle it, so you have to come to kind of take it to the committee, and then we'll see from there. So
does he want? Did he want you to go to public safety, or did he want you to go to public?
Do
notice?
Both.
What's that?
Do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you can see it being a public safety problem, and you can see it being a public works problem.
Yeah. So I thought I'd bring up both. And like I said, John's aware of it. I sent him the videos. And,
I don't see any reason why the road needs to be blocked, especially if no one's complaining about it.
Right.
I have some additional business.
I will email. Do you want me to email all you guys in it, or do you want me just just kind of give you a heads up with what he says? Okay, absolutely.
I've been receiving phone calls, and I've got a video now from Garden and Woodsage with the new new school.
Okay.
So I can show that to you if you'd like to see it.
I'd love to. So let me pull up, it's Garden and Woodsage.
Garden and Woodsage. So. He curses on his video. Okay, so this, I can show you exactly where it's at if you want to pull it up.
Let's see, Garden. Dry and Woodsage. Why is it not there? It
just does. I'll put it
up. Here, I should be able to get it right here, buddy.
Grab that yard fill up, so. Oh, Okay, I've got it right here. This video, right, is, let's see, it would be right about here. So this is the vantage point from here, looking north and east, right? So he's going to be driving from here around Garden to 47. So that's where it starts, right about here. So we've got the cars parked. Because you see the pond up here, it's undeveloped. These are all undeveloped lots. I'd have to ask. He said it's about 8:30, 9 o'clock. But I'll double check. I'll check his video to see if it's on there.
This is fucking ridiculous.
That's right. And then he said there were some problems today because they're not stopping traffic going the other way. So people are going around the cars that are stopped and the traffic's coming the other way. It's just making a mess. So then they pull in.
Every single school.
Parking over here, which would be on Garden Street, the Animal Hospital. These are all employees of the Animal Hospital.
On the road?
Yeah, on the south side of Garden Street.
Okay.
And so they're backed up from here around. And he said there's times when it first started that they're actually into the Fire Cliff subdivision around. So.
All right, is this a touchscreen?
No, I'm not that savvy.
So here's what I can show you what they're proposing to do. They are looking to make this entire lot a gravel parking lot. So as vehicles will come in, they will come back this way here, and I'm not sure if they're going to do a snake and then basically come out and drop and then come back through. That's their plan. Now, we were told that that was going to be done before the school year started. It obviously is not.
All they have right now is an ingress, yep. An egress with gravel here that yes. They just put in for the last 2 weeks.
So let me ask you this question then. So if that's about where...
And there's another school here. Let's see. Here's where it is. And this is the holistic one. So these two schools are... drop it off at like the same time.
So we got a phone call from somebody in here.
Okay.
She was a retired school administrator who lives in here, and she was complaining about the cars in her parking area.
Okay. Yeah.
And so our comment to her was, I can't do anything.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's still public streets.
Yeah, and even this case here. So this is why part of the... when the school builds a school, they don't have to go through our process for permitting. So I can tell you that Autumn Creek, Bristol Bay, Circle Center, this year alone, we've already changed and updated their bus drop-off and parent drop-off and pickup. Mm-hmm. Every year we have this issue, Dan. I'm not, if I change this and we have these parents just come through here, then all these people are gonna complain.
Well, and these are all retired age people, and they would complain.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Huge.
So, what he's concerned about is when they start bleeding into here, you know, there's kids that in here that have to catch buses. And, you know, he said they're hopscotching the cars and playing front or trying to get to the buses. And there's also other things. So, about some of these lots aren't developed, so there's no sidewalks, and I'm walking in the street with the cars wrapped around the subdivision. So, I don't think he has yet, but that would be the next suggestion I was going to have.
So give him my number. Give him my cell if you want. Give him my email, whatever you want.
Okay.
I can talk to him and kind of let him know what their timeline is and what the plan is. So is it now, is it normally, Dan, where they're typically to this point here now?
I haven't seen it tomorrow. I don't have court in the morning, so I was going to wait and take a gander over there because, I mean, it's... I run on this every day. I ran it this morning, but it was at 6:30 in the morning, there's no one there. But I'm going to look through it tomorrow at drop-off time and see how far back it goes. So I'll have a better understanding of it. So.
And, okay, the other question I would ask him is, what is the time frame
of the pickup and drop-offs?
So when it starts, because typically what happens, like at Autumn Creek yesterday, I was there yesterday morning, they had parents line up an hour before school starts. An hour. They were backed up on both sides of Autumn Creek at about 8:20. They open the gate and the parents are funneled around the back. How we doing? Parents are bundled around the back of the school in two lanes, and it took all but six cars off of Autumn Creek. This spot here.
Is there an hour early?
Hour.
That's insane.
Hour. And at the end of the school day, an hour. And they don't let them in because they've got security issues, right? They don't let them in that back roadway, and technically they're not doing anything wrong. I can't with that. So that would be one of the questions, if you can get this guy to at least identify the time frame, and then how long does it normally last? Because we were done at Autumn Creek by 8:20 to 8:25, everything was off the roadway. So I have 5 minutes.
Once they get them moving.
Once they get them moving, 5 minutes, they were off the road.
All right. Like I said, I'm going to go through it tomorrow morning and see when they start lining up.
Yeah. That's what I'd be looking for, and then I'm not sure what he's going to want either.
I don't know. You know, it's the first week, so maybe after a couple of days, they'll do some trial and error and figure out another, maybe a staggered drop-off, you know?
Yeah, we'd have to, definitely something to get with Tim. The only bright side of this is, in the wintertime, the other schools are going to see an increase in the number of cars. They won't, because it's all early, so all the kids are being driven already.
Right.
So none of those kids are walking to school, so you're not going to see an increase in cars.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'll talk to him later.
Okay, give him my number, and I can talk to him too. And then I can reach out to Tim and maybe set up a time for all of us to meet.
Right. Which one do I give him?
Do the 488.
The 488. Okay. Work.
That's it.
All right. Anyone else? No? I believe we can adjourn at 6:55. Thanks, Chief.
All right.
Appreciate it.